Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving.
Dorothy is over, it's 5 o'clock.
I think that's what they do at 5 o'clock on radio stations. I've heard it for years. Everybody's getting out of work. Woo!
Finally, the moment has come.
Yes.
The 9 to 5 is over.
It's over.
You're on your drive home. Nothing but fun and good times from here on out, Clint.
I've always heard that, though, that 5 o'clock is when everybody's done for the day.
Is that how it works? You're usually done at 10:30.
I think so.
Time to blow up a little steam. What happened at work today.
Let's blow off some steam from work today. 913-576-7610. Tell Dolly all about it. We blow off a little steam here at 5 o'clock.
Whew! Ship will come in. You know, you just got done dealing with Carol and accounting.
That's right.
And you want to get this off your chest. Just getting out the door at 4:50.
Yeah.
But at 5 o'clock,
it's over.
It was over.
It's over.
Work day's been longer than I'm used to. I had to see Scott Parks today. Didn't appreciate his, just curtness with me.
There was a lot of...
Wanted to eject me from the newsroom.
There was a lot of, what are you doing here today? I don't know. I think I appreciated that tone. But I've always heard that 5 o'clock is when work ends.
You haven't experienced that in a very long time.
I've never worked a job.
You've never had a 9 to 5?
That I've been done at 5.
I worked one 9 to 5 job for 3 months at a bank. I think I would have appreciated Dolly on the drive home to end the day.
So blow some steam about your workplace today, because 5 o'clock means work's over. That's what I've been told for years. I've heard
FM radio talks.
I've heard them on FM stations all the time. They always blow this like whistle and tell you that it's you're done. I didn't know that that's how it worked. But now we're sitting here in the afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. We're done.
I mean, you know, it's not like we've ever worked that kind of shift, Kling. We have to get used to it. We're giving people an opportunity that we didn't even know they needed.
This show could be on tape in the 5 o'clock hour.
816.
Works over at 5. I don't know.
How did you know my HR lady's name's Carol? Because they're all named Carol.
That's always her name. And I'm sure the person that was you were dealing with in accounting was named Helen. I'm sure Helen gave you trouble today about some receipt you turned in for that work trip.
785 says to the person that heated up fish in the microwave today, screw you, blow the whistle.
That's good. You got dreams he'll never take away.
On the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way.
913 says, I hate my job. My bosses take too many pot breaks.
How many?
A lot
too
of jerks
many?
That complain and don't tip. I hate everybody. This one's for you, 913. Let that go.
Work day's
let
over.
Let that go. Take it, Dolly.
9 to 5, yeah. They've got you where they want you. There's a better life.
816 says time for a beer. I agree. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Right? 5 o'clock here.
I saw some new beer in Speck's office. Should we get some?
I saw some of that, too. 816 is the drive drunk. Not yet, baby. We're getting there.
It was the good stuff. It was KC Beer Company, Clay. You drink at work? Let's drink at work.
Sure.
913 says great show today. 2-6 besides Cody.
What? What did I do? Well, I guess good news. If you listen to 6-10, you won't have to deal with me, will you?
That's how it works. That's how it works. So congratulations to all of you that are done working at 5.
Hey, you made it through it.
Good job.
Really, congratulations.
We don't blow the whistle at other times of the day, which is very weird to me. Why just 5? I think there are probably a lot more people that aren't off at 5.
But most people don't get off when you get off of
FM
work.
FM radio always told me that people got off work at 5. So
Ryan's had a 9-to-5, right?
No. God. This is the first job I ever had where I got weekends off. I didn't even know what to do with myself.
I can't believe between the three of us and all of our working history, we combined for the 3 months I spent working at a bank as the only 9-to-5 any of us has worked. I quit. I hated it so much.
I had absolutely no skill set, so I was just working jobs that I had to basically work 7 days a week.
And you just take whatever hour
I still have no skill set. If I lost this job, like, what do I do with the skills I've acquired from here? Nothing. I'm like a Walmart greeter.
There's got to be something besides that for you, Ryan.
Sorry, this took a dark turn at 5:07.
I didn't
anticipate getting in my emotions.
Blowing
at
the
5:07.
Whistle, you're like, I have no discernible skills. Which is largely true for those of us in radio. So we're here
because we have no other discernible skills.
Yes. What would you say your skill set involves?
We're not even technically all that good at some of the stuff we're supposed to do here sometimes.
That's true. It's true. Fundamentally bad at a lot of stuff. Your next chance to win $1,000 coming out at 5:30. At 5:25, we'll get to our Garth Brooks giveaway.
I've emailed all the music to these people.
So
has anyone responded?
We have three contestants. They're each writing.
Seth said thanks.
Country songs, and they're going to perform the 5:25 for your chance to win. Garth tickets.
17 minutes. They got 17 more minutes to realize how hard it is to write a song sometimes and perform it.
I mean, we gave them so much of the song already.
Correct.
We gave them two different cliches. I got to work in. We gave them a whole phrase. I mean, like. We did most of the work for you.
I have to write all my own lyrics. Nobody chips in. I just play them for Ryan when I get in and say,
too.
Do you think this sounds good? And Ryan usually
lies and tells you yes. That's what I do.
I usually walk out of the room and Ryan's laughing and saying, you're an idiot. That's usually how those conversations go.
It'll work for you. Yeah, it's usually where he goes with that. All right. You think the Chiefs should, drum up the positions in which they have a lot of depth?
Well,
for futuristic needs.
Why do they only do this with running backs? Every year, Kling, you've been on the Chiefs beat for a bit, right? Every year for the last multiple years in a row, the Chiefs seemingly signed 72 running backs and then convinced the Texans or some other team to take on one of said running backs because they have too many for their roster. And for whatever reason, some team at the least valuable position in the NFL convinces themselves they need a guy like Damian Washington on their squad versus where he was going to fit in on your roster. They're actually tailor-made to do that this year at wide receiver, a more valuable position. They have like 5 guys for 3 man's work, right? They don't need all the numbers they have at this. They don't need DeMarcus Robinson and Pringle and Powell and Mecole Hardman
and Antonio Callaway,
who people have been drumming up at least the last couple of days. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to throw these big numbers at it, by training camp, think of the guy you're willing to get rid of right now and find the suitor for him. Like, if they're doing this at running back, Kling, already, who's to say you can't pick up a 5th-round pick or a 6th-round pick for those same players? Considering, I get it, like, maybe with Powell, he's not the guy because you used a pick to get him. So why would you be making that move? The conversation is really for the guys behind that. And look, I know you might be like, why would I want to make wide receiver worse if, say, DeMarcus Robinson, for instance, was the guy I was talking about? Because they're all kind of the same. Kind of how they treat running back, right, Kling? You choose the guy you're willing to part with. Don't let the other team make the demand. Find out the guy that you think other people would be interested in and start drumming up a little interest.
You wouldn't drum up interest to a team that you think might have interest in your guy?
Look, I understand. I might.
Like the Bears might have interest in DeMarcus Robinson.
Sure, because Matt Nagy is there and already knows him. Sure, that's fine, especially if it's on the NFC side. But they've been willing to trade to the AFC with these running backs, too. This is not a new move for them. They seemingly...
Carlos Hyde?
Yes, Carlos Hyde and Washington. They've done this multiple times.
Washington it's always was the Texans, the AFC too. But for,
it's always the Texans, but you can find other teams who might like a wide receiver. They've got more guys than the spots they have, Kling, right? Am I counting wrong? There's too many.
There's too many, yes. Yes.
So someone
there's too
has,
many that haven't completely differentiated themselves
and,
either.
And too many that belong near an NFL roster. DeMarcus Robinson has a ton of snaps in the NFL. Byron Pringle's gotten NFL snaps. Powell was a high enough pick you expect him to make your roster to go with it. Antonio Callaway was one of the best deep rookies 3 years ago, so now you're trying to work him in. It's like the numbers are all of NFL guys, which is what they do at running back. When they bring in Washington or they bring in Carlos Hyde, those guys are experienced running backs who've been in the NFL. You're not trading someone an unproven commodity. You're offering them, this guy has done things in the NFL. Why not be interested in our guy?
I don't feel like Callaway's on that trade list, though, because that one feels like you've taken the flyer.
No, but you took
him, so you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You probably can't spin him to somebody else that was thinking. Okay, so you might be able to spin one of the guys that's been here.
Sure.
Robinson and Pringle.
Those are the two, to me,
those are the two, if you're going to do that, that you would find a suitor for one. Maybe both.
And look, the truth is, Robinson's going to be the easier one to find a suitor for because he's been the more productive NFL player.
And I really thought he would be with another team on a multi-year deal by now.
And he's cheap. So for the teams that give you assets, they don't have to give you assets and money, Kling. DeMarcus Robinson doesn't cost you money. Like, think about how many players you can trade for that improve your team but cost you nothing. And I'm not saying, like, you want to do that, but if you think the other guys you have in there can fill that role instead of DeMarcus Robinson, why not take the chance, I guess would be the argument, because there is a good argument to be made that at that point, why not just do what you do at running back? Because you can only kick those guys down to the practice squad or anything else in between so many times. And that's where you maintain your depth, because Callaway could end up being a practice squad guy. We don't know, because he was already off the roster. That's the part where you're making the argument one way or the other for which guy kind of makes sense. But, I mean, why not take the chance? To me, it's like you've got all those players. This makes sense like you do with running backs.
The Chiefs are doing something that some other teams aren't, and it's kind of baffling to me. If I saw the Chiefs have very high attendance, and I've seen at OTAs, and I see the Chiefs are doing minicamp, I wouldn't in any way, shape, or form say, you know what, I'm going to do the opposite. We've seen teams do the opposite. The Eagles were the first ones to bail, and that was early. And I thought, wow, those players got one over on their first-time head coach, Nick Sirianni, and they were falling. He was falling into the, oh, my gosh, players are going to stay away and follow their union's advice trap. David Culley, the Houston first-year head coach, also is now bailing on minicamp. That one is super
baffling.
That
one makes no sense.
They've got like a half a roster right now of newbies.
Yeah.
They can't possibly know everything about their team.
And a new system, too.
And a new system. And a first-time head coach. That one is baffling to me. And then San Francisco does feel like maybe injury-related because you do have a coach that we think has got his head on his shoulders, right? Kyle Shanahan, I think,
sure.
I think he looks like a guy that's got some staying power.
He's a great head coach.
They'd had questions at quarterback, though, but they said, oh, Jimmy G's been great. Okay. They canceled their last 2 days of OTAs and their minicamp. I don't know how you could look yourself, and they had a couple of season-ending injuries, which seems to be kind of the feel out there a little bit.
Are just saying, fingers crossed for D4, that can't be good.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second with San Fran. But at least you could point to, they say, okay, they're a little spooked by it. They've had a couple of season-ending injuries already. They're a little spooked by that. They're going to call off their thing. Otherwise, I don't know how you can look yourself in the mirror and go, you know what? The Chiefs are doing this. The Bucs are doing this. They're out there getting better. And we're just calling off practices here in the off season. I'd have a hard time being a coach of another team or a fan base of another team and saying, but wait, the Chiefs are out there doing their thing right now. Why aren't we?
The key, I guess, to all of this is making sure the players don't voice concern. Because this is all an NFLPA thing. My assumption is that Sirianni caved to a couple of guys who were like, look, we don't need this. And, you know, they're telling us we don't need it anyway. Just give it off to us. Be the player's coach. And Coley follows suit because his team stinks and maybe he just doesn't legitimately think it'll make them any worse or better because they're awful. Shanahan, like you said, is the only real interesting one, but imagine the mood. After two more guys had very serious injuries for a team that is already injury-riddled, but the other teams make no sense. How you let the Chiefs show up at practice? And they already called the bluff, by the way. The second that the Juwan James for the Broncos went down, the whole vibe changed on that.
Yes.
It cost him $10 million, and the whole vibe changed.
And I think a lot more people showed
because,
up.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what?
A lot more players like, I'm not going to risk this necessarily.
I'm going to go and work out here instead because I'd like to keep my contract. So, like, to me, it's like once that happened, everything shifted in that balance of power anyway. NFL coaches are not going to give up off-season training. They might take it easy on you. They might have some light days, but just take some light days, Kling. Like for Thursday, right, rather than cancel it, just do some walkthroughs. Do some classroom meetings. Don't make them go on a field. Just try to teach them something. Like that to me is the model, but there's absolutely no benefit in not showing up at all, which is, I guess, the weird part. I don't know. Like you're right. If the Chiefs are doing it, how do you look at yourself in the face and say, nah, we're good?
You know what? We know better. Do you? And then we heard from Willie Gay earlier today, live out at Arrowhead here on 610 Sports Radio. A rookie last year, of course, that mentions that learning the playbook or not learning the playbook, not being on the field last year, we know why they couldn't last year, right? But this year now they can be on the field. And he says it was a disadvantage for him. It was tough coming in late last year.
Well, I mean, of course, it was tough, man, for us guys that came in last year. You know, to only see the playbook for the first time during training camp, it was hard. You know, and to get that head start right now in OTAs and mini camp, it's definitely helping a lot. You know, I'm catching on to the things that I didn't catch on to last year. You know, I learned the basics. Now it's the small details that makes good great. You know what I'm saying? So it's coming on pretty good. So.
But would it have come on faster had he had those workouts last year? Sounds like it. Certainly sounds like it from Willie Gay's perspective. Like I would have taken full advantage of what went down last year. You saw how long it took to kind of incorporate him into the lineup. These practices, we roll our eyes at times. They're valuable, and they're especially valuable if you're taking advantage of such situations, which again accentuates why baffled why other teams would not when the Chiefs are going to take advantage of it. Tomorrow's their 10th practice. And then next week, mandatory minicamp, 3 days of minicamp. You're going to have 13 workouts in there with a good bulk of your team and presumably everybody next week. You can get better during this time if you choose to use it smartly.
It's especially because like it's a year after we didn't get any of this, Kling. Like you weren't allowed to do any of this. Like Willie Gay spoke earlier today, too, and said similar things, right? It's like this is kind of like my first time going through this process. And you and I both know, especially like for offensive players, right? If you're there in, you know, with Houston with a quarterback situation that you don't know is a complete mess or new weapons in San Francisco. Like Andy Reid changes what he does every single year. The offense never looks the same. This is why you have to be here. The reason why you and I think, I guess I can't speak for you. We haven't hosted enough shows together, but why I like Spags so much more than what was happening is that he's willing to change. His defense doesn't look the same from year to year. He adjusts it based on the talent that he has available to him, which means, guess what, Kling? The defense is going to look slightly different this year. Guess what I assume? 2 years ago when Tyrann Mathieu played a lot more in the slot versus 1 year ago when he played less in the slot, now that there's no Bashaud Breeland, guess what I assume? Tyrann Mathieu will probably play more in the slot, and they'll give you more three safety looks, but it's really two safety looks where Tyrann Mathieu's helping cover some of that end. So it's like, I don't know, some version of that that you've got to readjust and get your mindset in where at least, to me, that's the value in doing it. Good teams adjust, Kling. And if good teams adjust, that means you need some of this offseason stuff to know what you're adjusting to. Not just training camp. And training camp's not the same anymore either because you only get three preseason games now.
College football made it official today. The College Football Playoff Committee, their working group, whatever that is. I find this college football story to me a little bit like convincing your child to do something. If you convince them it's their idea, you got a shot. If it's your idea, they hate it, and it's the dumbest thing in the world. I feel like the College Football Playoff Committee has circled around and going, you know what? Expanding the playoff. And we're all like, yeah, duh. Yeah, we've all been saying this for a while. They're like, no, no, no. We think expanding the playoff's a great idea. Here's how.
Yeah, but we anyway, all knew that.
You know, it's circled around, so that's their idea, and so now it's great. Fine. As long as we get there, I'm cool with it. But it seems that they will not admit that they basically bowed to everybody's wants to get to various stages of how they've gotten through the college football process. But here we are again, a 12-team playoff looks like it's coming within a couple of years.
The one thing I can appreciate
in a couple of years,
and look, every sport's a little bit different for the competitive balance, Bink. I don't know why I was in the last couple of days, Kling. Everything's, and we're talking college football, so I just have.
I could say that.
But when you look at it, everybody's got a different competitive balance. The good news about this, Kling, is that this makes college football more competitive. Because right now, there are only, legitimately, you could only list maybe seven teams every year, and I mean the same seven teams every year for the next decade, who had a chance to win a college football national championship. Like, Alabama's at the top of that list, but it's Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame. It's a handful. It's not many. If you finally open this up, if you allow them the ability to get 12 teams in, that means if a team like Missouri goes to two college football playoffs in a five-year run, because they're having a good run, all they got to do is be ranked in the top 12, congratulations, you're in the college football playoff. And you make a quick run, you find a way to a semi or a final one of those times, then you become an attractive recruiting thing. I think what happened in college football is you only go to the schools who can win it. This is why college basketball, there are 20 schools who get the top talent. It's Gonzaga, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas. The list is long because all those teams can win a title. In college football, the list is short.
Now, if you want to win a national title,
you go to Alabama or Clemson.
You've only got a few options.
Yeah, but if you open it to 12, then you give them an actual chance to at least say that to a student and not look like an idiot. Like, you can say you can win a national title here. And before, if you said that and it was only four teams that got in there, you can't say that. No one believes you. No one knows that that's the case. To me, it's going to take time. It's probably, I don't know, 10 years maybe before the playing field evens. But I do think it inevitably evens the playing field a little bit for these top schools.
The format, the four highest ranked conference champions will be seated 1-4. They're going to get a first round bye. And then the team seated 5-12 would play each other in the first round in the home field of the higher ranked team. So we're going to have, under this plan, we're going to have games on college campuses in the playoff.
That's
which
awesome.
I think is pretty awesome. The four highest ranked conference champions at this stage cannot include Notre Dame, who's not in the conference. So as it stands right now, Notre Dame, who did join it for the pseudo hot minute last year, right, may in fact join it now, because under this scenario, they can't play. They can't be in the top four, because they're not going to be a conference champion, which is an interesting portion of this one too. It feels like it's a little more inclusive to the non-power fives, and it gives you an opportunity to play games on college campuses, and then quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the championship, quarterfinals, semifinals, and bowl games, the national championship game, like it's been, will go to the highest bidder and be on a neutral site. Getting 12 in makes sense. You like 16 a little bit better. I don't mind the 12. I think you give a little incentive still to getting a first-round bye, and sure, I think that's important in the NFL playoffs. I think it can be very important in the college football playoffs as well, but getting more teams in I think is good. Ultimately, I think it's good, and I wanted this for a while. You give a chance to a Cincinnati or a Coastal Carolina, who both would have been into the playoff last year, and let's see how they do. I've always been in the camp of, hey, I don't know that they'll ever win one, but let's give them a shot to, and give them a shot to go up against the big boys.
And college sports feed off of the whole thing about college sports, Kling, is the atmosphere. And finally, you got some of the most important games in big atmospheres. That, to me, is big. That might be the biggest thing out of all of it, including other than the number of teams, actually getting to see some of those games, 5-8, played on a big stage.
We're going to get our three contestants lined up. They're going to deliver an original country music song.
Can't wait.
For their shot to win Garth Brooks tickets. It's going to be entertaining. And your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword next.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
It is time to dash for the cash. Your code word this hour in the National Cash Contest is Shadow. S-H-A-D-O-W, Shadow, to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner of the National Cash Contest. Your next chance to win comes tomorrow morning. Or do we do one more at 6:30, right? One more at 6:30, right?
Yeah.
I never do this shift.
I don't remember.
I always had
maybe
to count.
One
did
an
you
hour.
Say shift? You
said shift. Shift.
Oh,
yes, I
shift.
Did. I
thought you said something entirely.
I don't do this shift.
I said shift.
I'm too old for this
clearly,
shift.
Clearly. That's right. That's right. Normally, I just have an hour ahead. I don't know what tomorrow brings. But 6:30, I think there's still another chance today,
whatever,
right?
Please listen to 6:30. Anyway, Christina Sarah's going to be here.
Complete rules, 610sports.com. Messages and data rates may apply. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today and learn more. That's BetQL, BETQL. Shadow to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Yeah, stick around until 6:30.
This is Garth Brooks.
Hey, Garth.
Hey, Garth.
Stick around until 6:30. You're done. I don't give a shift.
Clearly said shift. Dang.
Had to listen back to
that. I don't know. Over the music, covered it regardless. Why Garth here? Well, for the first time at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium history, Garth Brooks will be performing on the Arrowhead event stage Saturday, August 7th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Available online at Ticketmaster.com/Garth Brooks or on the Ticketmaster app on mobile devices. No advanced box office sales. Go to Ticketmaster.com/Garth Brooks for all of the details. But we have an opportunity for someone to win Garth Brooks tickets. We stake three of our listeners today with a task to write a country song.
I feel like I'm criticized sometimes for my ability to write music.
He's Cody Tapp from Cody and Gold. He is a singer-songwriter as well in his spare time.
I don't often spend more than the amount of time they were just given to write this. So we gave each listener 35 minutes or so.
Pretty good.
I mean, you typically have more time, but
yeah,
you don't
spend more time.
You've never spent more than 35 minutes on one of these.
I got kids and stuff, man. Life's busy. Can't all, you know, I got other jobs than singer-songwriter. That's a hobby. It's different. So
you have
I do
one
it.
Other job.
That's correct.
So we gave them 30 minutes to write their own country songs. And for each person, we gave them two country music cliches and one country music phrase they had to include in each song. So we gave them 30 minutes to write it, Kling. And would you believe it or not, they all called back in. So we have Josh, John, and Seth. Josh was told to talk about ice cold beer.
Mm-hmm.
Riding on a horse.
Yep.
And denim.
And denim.
And denim.
Which makes sense.
So should we start with
him? We're going to have our listeners determine who wins, right?
I mean, they're going to have some say in it.
Okay, so they can weigh in.
We get veto power.
Can weigh
right?
in on the text line, 913-576-7610.
Wait till you hear all three.
7610. And we'll have you be a part of determining the winner, which will be announced before we end the show today.
Yeah, I've got their numbers. I'll call them back.
Right?
That's fine.
All right.
Josh, John, and Seth are the three names you can text in.
That's right. Josh will be up first out of Harrisonville performing his, I don't know, did you title your song, Josh? You didn't have to, but did you give it a title?
I did not.
Okay. All right. Ryan, when you're ready, play the music, and Josh, then take it away.
Oh. Quitting time at work, sweat stained again. Sitting in that 35 traffic, horse and buggy's gotta be just quick. Six pack of ice cold beers on my mind. If that's not enough, I'll have another 10. When I get home, I'll tell the wife we just won us some tickets. She'll unbuckle these Wrangler jeans and she'll get my stick. The end.
Oh my! It got vulgar at the end. I'm not gonna lie, but
it did get vulgar at the end.
Got a little dirty there at the end. They got them all. I checked.
Did you get all the did you get all the cliches? I definitely heard ice cold beer.
He mentioned his Wranglers.
His Wranglers, yeah.
So he had denim. He got denim.
Got denim.
Okay.
In.
All right. Well,
he got some Josh kind of riding. I'm not sure it was a horse.
That was. That turned sexy at the end. I didn't realize that was going to take that time.
All right, so that's Josh in Harrisonville, our first contestant.
Remember, you get to vote at the end.
John will be our second contestant. He had fixin' to get rowdy as part of his, right?
That was his phrase. You got to hear that in the song.
Fixin' to get rowdy.
And then he needs to have some sort of nostalgia vibe, looking back at the past fondly.
All right.
And booze.
And
we'd like booze to be included.
And booze will be included as well. All right.
Seems more than reasonable.
All right, so John and Belton. Ryan's going to play the music and then take it away.
Yeah, let's go.
bum. You sipping on that Vegas rum. Seems like the kingdom has you wrong. Stupid and dumb. Look sideways at us on a Sunday number 15. We'll grab those laces. See Ty Hill on that 100-round highway. Then we'll fly away. Yeah, I could slam you. I could blame you. But we'll just go with the 65 toss, power trap, and Hank Stram you. Good teams are here some. But never, ever, ever doubt the kingdom. Drop the mic.
All right. All right.
I'm not really quite sure the direction John
was
going.
John,
in.
Did he get everything?
What was the theme of that?
It was certainly Chiefs related and the Raiders in the beginning.
Yeah. Pat Mahomes is grabbing laces.
Didn't he get rowdy in there?
He looked fondly back. I think if you say 65 toss power trap,
yeah,
you
okay,
have
I'll
you
give
looked,
you that. I'll
give I think
that.
That is nostalgia.
All right.
And you've Booze, he got the Raider rum or
the
Vegas
Raider
rum.
Yeah, he
Vegas
said that rum. In the early
Did he
part?
Say fixing to get rowdy? Anybody hear fixing to get rowdy in that?
If he said it, I missed it.
I did
I'm
too.
Not saying he didn't say it, but if he said it, I missed
text
it.
Text line's being very, very unkind to John.
You've heard Josh.
Do we have to ask?
You've heard John.
Because I don't know if fixing to get rowdy was in there.
You might want to ask him, Ryan. I might have missed it.
John, did you have fixing to get rowdy in your song?
Yeah, yeah. I said, okay. look sideways at us on a Sunday, and number 15 will grab them laces. Like, look sideways at us. You know, like, yeah. Get rowdy with us. Go ahead. Look sideways.
Did you use the phrase get rowdy?
For instance, it was use the exact phrase fixing to get rowdy. Not like,
I got it.
That was a.
I see
Seth,
what he was
I feel
for.
Like since you get to go third, you have a distinct advantage here.
I don't understand.
If you have not already, Seth, I would recommend
it was
making
literally,
sure
you had
put
to say,
the tailgate down.
Fixing to get rowdy
tailgate,
in your song.
He could have just said it at the
it
beginning.
Didn't have
All
it.
Right, we're fixing to get rowdy. Yeah. Like any of that.
Honestly, that
getting,
would have been really
I was
strong.
Out of that. You get the Patrick Mahomes. Just say fixing to get rowdy. That's all you had to do.
He did write a longer song. That's more difficult.
Well, that's good.
Why are you trying to seek? No,
it's, I don't know. All right.
I love you, John. That was not good.
This was my guy going in because I thought Seth.
Sounded
spoke
the most
of
confident.
Confidence when we had him on the line earlier. So Seth and Spring Hills got put down the tailgate,
yep.
Right?
And then he's got and then it includes somewhere in there the cliches of blue collar work and breakups.
And breakups. All right, Seth and Spring Hill. I still like your chances. No pressure. Ryan's going to play the music, and then take it away.
I've been driving this truck hard since Monday, just trying to get to the end. The only thing I want to do is put the tailgate down with you and lock our dirty boots in the sand. Breaking up with me is something you love. And honey, I love making up with you. And once I'm done chasing down the dogs and slapping all the hogs, girl, you know what we is gonna do. Tailgate dropping, boot knocking, beer chugging, it's hot. Girl, you know you want me, I know it. And tailgate loving is always tried and true. Woo-hoo!
The title of that song is definitely Tailgate Love is Always Tried and True, for sure, right?
I liked it.
That's a banger.
I don't care what y'all are saying.
Seth just delivered. I like driver's seat for this one.
We'll let you vote, though. 913-576-7610. Josh, John, or Seth? Who do you think deserves to get those Garth Brooks tickets?
All right, I'm hanging up on all three of you right now. That doesn't mean you're terrible. Just the first two.
Just know that Ryan will contact the winner.
Ryan's ringing the ballot box.
I'll call
as we
you
speak.
Later. I'll call you later.
All right.
Call you soon, Pitt, Seth.
All right, so vote 913-576-7610. We will try a drive segment called Before We Go next.
Drive weekdays 2 to 6.
I've been driving this old truck hard since Monday, just trying to get to the end. The only thing I want to do is put the tailgate down with you and lock our dirty boots in the sand. Breaking up with me is something you love, And honey, I love making up with you. And once I'm done chasing down the dogs and slapping all the hogs, girl, you know what we is gonna do. Tailgate dropping, boot knocking, beer chugging, it's hot. Girl, you know you want me, I know it. And tailgate loving is always tried and true. Woo-hoo!
That was Seth's attempt to win Garth Brooks tickets.
Real split text line between original, Seth and Josh.
His original country song. I didn't think it would be at the end of the towards the end of the show today, Cody, and I would apologize to you. And I will say that it is a lot harder than it looks.
Thank you.
Yours aren't all that bad.
I have several hits. You know, by the way, Gold Tomorrow has already agreed that if the Royals lose again tonight, they're playing One More Win again. Last time I wrote that song, One More Win, they went from an 11-game losing streak to winning 12 of 18. Feels like it probably needs to make a reappearance.
I'd even be willing to listen to another one of your songs if that was the case.
Right? It's worth it. I'm not going to write a new one. I'm just going to play that same Boyz II Men.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's
but I'm going to write an original. I'm just going to play the same song again.
So that was Seth.
I thought Seth did a bang-up job. I mean, that's good.
Seth and
Josh.
And Josh are in so we've already eliminated John, right?
Sorry, John.
He didn't have fixing to get rowdy in there.
I don't think he met parameters.
He didn't follow the directions, but also he's also not winning the text vote anyway. Yes. So Josh has a chance though with his, right?
Yeah, Josh. I like Josh's song
all right,
too.
All right.
Quitting time at work, sweat stained again. Sitting in that 35 traffic, horse and buggy's gotta be just quick. Six pack of ice cold beers on my mind. If that's not enough, I'll have another 10. When I get home, I'll tell the wife we just won us some tickets. She'll unbuckle these Wrangler jeans and she'll get my stick.
Yeah. So that was
it got dirty at the
that
end.
That was Josh. It got a little uncomfortable at the end. So Seth and Josh, down to those two. Still have a few more minutes to vote. 913-576-7610. One of those two gentlemen is going to see Garth Brooks.
Someone's convinced that all of them were terrible and none of them deserve the tickets.
That may be the case as well.
So I get them if I can write a country song in the next 4.5 minutes?
Do you think you could do it?
I don't know.
I mean, I have other music. I have other music.
That's hard to say. It's not impossible.
We had country cliches we didn't use.
It's hard to ad-lib an entire song. Normally, I need a little bit of...
That's fine if you don't trust your skills. I understand.
Why,
I get it.
I don't know why you got to turn it into that.
I was just saying. It's what... Listen, I think the people at home or in their cars are feeling the same way I am.
That I don't trust myself
You don't trust
enough?
Yourself.
I just have a process.
Just trying to peer pressure you.
Yeah,
this.
I know. I know you are. The last time
you
this
have
happened.
Have a process?
The last time this happened, I wrote on air over the course
Who
of an hour.
Who the hell do you
half
think you
show.
Are? I have a process.
I wrote a song for Bashaud Breeland live in the show once. It garnered his attention.
Have you heard Bashaud's music?
Yes.
Okay.
I have. I'm actually trying to get booked at Planet Hip Hop in St. Joe because that's where he got booked. They're weighing options. They've not.
They were. I don't think they're going to get back to you. I don't think they're going to
so
get
they
back to you.
They booked Bashaud Breeland, but not you.
To date.
Okay.
Give me some more time.
All right.
He was a featured guest. I'm looking for an individual spot. But it's a slightly different game. Never, no.
He's definitely better than you.
He's got a professional producer doing this stuff. Remember in the draft, I fell in the draft based on fabricated mention. Got caught
with the gas, then they put me on suspension. Afraid of my past, can't go back to average living. I don't know what you're... How you are putting yourself in the category with this gentleman is beyond me.
You just don't even think it deserves it?
You think an awful lot of yourself, Tap.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair. Why don't you play my biggest hit? Play No Chance.
I didn't realize you had
I don't think we're... I don't
let
think
alone
we're
a biggest hit.
Play my biggest hit.
That would require you to have at least two hits.
No.
No chance. Listen to me. No chance. Not at all.
I don't like this at all.
No chance. Can't beat him.
Mm-mm.
No chance.
That's a hit.
That is definitely not a hit.
No. Don't know what that is, but... hit would not.
That's not how you would describe it, huh?
No.
Interesting.
Not really. Not really.
Just you wait. Just you wait till I'm at Planet Hip Hop.
Okay.
You find out if I put you on that VIP list with this attitude.
I know Cody Tapp. Yeah, he didn't invite you, sir. I know Cody Tapp.
Do you know who I am?
That's right. Kyle Long tweeted out earlier today, I did everything I could to prepare to get back for football. Zero regrets. I've been getting better every day and having so much fun with my new team, focusing on controlling the things I can control. Yesterday was not one of those things. Thanks for all the well wishes. Kyle Long, injured knee. We don't know the extent of it just yet. Could require surgery, though, says Andy Reid.
I think we know about Kyle. So Kyle hurt his knee. And we'll just see how he does here. It doesn't look like it's ligaments, but we'll see.
So don't believe it's ligament related. Could require a surgery. The optimistic look, I think, is at this point in time would be start of the season. But a tough blow for Kyle Long. And maybe a little bit of we should have saw it coming with injury, yeah. His injury history before now, which I chose to ignore. I totally did.
Yeah, it's because he wasn't injured with you.
He wasn't injured with the Chiefs. He was a year removed. You know, it gives you time to heal up all those things that have been healed up in the past, and it wasn't going to bite you. But I guess there shouldn't be as much surprise. But I was kind of counting on him to be at the starting right guard. So options include LDT, who's going to be back for minicamp. He's not been part of the offseason work, but
Trey Smith.
Andy Reid said he would be at mandatory minicamp next week, and then Trey Smith, the draft pick, is also getting a lot of love.
I think
right
Niang
now,
so. Would not be. I wouldn't rule him out yet.
Probably not. Let's do a little before we go.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go.
I guess they do this on the drive, right? Before they go, they give it a little parting. Little wisdom. Parting farewell or parting wisdom.
I guess it's our final segment. That felt long to me. I didn't want to.
So we shortened it a little.
Yeah.
So our before we go is a lot shorter than the typical one on the drive.
I guess.
All right.
I'd like to think that we did everything that they do, only just a little bit better.
They were a little mad we didn't do the hits.
So?
We played Dolly Parton at 5 o'clock. I don't
we
know how that was.
We were blowing whistles. What the hell?
I do not know how that wasn't playing the hits.
Good call. Good call.
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton played at 5 o'clock. That constitutes playing the hits.
I think you might want to rethink what you do at 5 o'clock, Harrington. I'm just throwing that out there.
The work whistle played.
I think it did.
I got to say, we gave it our best today. We really tried. We were really into this.
Yeah, we gave it a good run.
I hope the other guys on all the other shows were as into it as we were, because I felt like we were really on board with this today.
We committed to it.
So, you know, patting the three of us on the back.
Is this what we're supposed to do? Because I'm not patting anybody on the back. I'm calling out Carrington and Alex. And you know what? Rob, too. Because they did our bits this morning. They absolutely butchered them. Like, the least you could have done was listened to our show. Like, we listened to your show to figure out what the bits you did. We didn't want to do half of them. So we, you know, made them our own. But still, like, at least we did you the courtesy of listening to your show. Because we're pros. And that's what pros do.
Credit to the
that's
three.
That's about as serious as you've ever been. That's what pros do.
Credit to the three gentlemen who gave it a shot. Look, it's not easy to be a musician.
My vote's singer, for Seth, songwriter. By the way.
Not easy to be a singer-songwriter.
And it's pretty clear that the vote from the text line is for Seth, too.
But credit to them for at least giving it a try. Not an easy thing to write a song on a short notice, especially when Garth Brooks tickets are on the line. Seth, is that our vote?
Seth,
vote for Seth?
Seth's our winner today. Congratulations.
All three of us are voting for Seth?
Yeah, and the text line, too. Text line had Seth as the majority winner of those Garth Brooks tickets. This has been
Seth, I'll call you back, buddy.
610 day. I hope you enjoyed it today. If you missed Carrington and Alex on the morning show, if you missed Fesco and Binkley middays.
I'm also convinced that you cursed twice on the show today.
I said shift once.
It was. I don't think you did. I don't think you did.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
listen back.
Cody Tapp, Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. So tune in and listen to that show. I'm Josh Klingler from Fesco in the Morning. Ryan Witkowski, our producer as well. Mm-hmm. He was with me. He and I were together this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow. Ha, day game after night game.
Oh, I'll be ready,
for
baby.
Us tomorrow.
Friday Ryan's the best Ryan. You don't know.
Friday 9 o'clock Ryan is the best Ryan. So tune in for that tomorrow morning beginning at 5:58. Hope you enjoyed 610 day. If you missed any of it, check it out, 610sports.com or via the Odyssey app. Chris Unocero will take you up to baseball. He's in next here on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, gents.
Oh man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.